Hi there. How are you doing?
Great.
I have to make a confession up front here as we start Just Three Things. The platform that we're using for this voice conferencing is actually the company my son works for, my oldest son, Nolan. And so a couple of weeks ago, I was actually trying to figure out how to do this because the way I'd been doing it was actually awful, horrible. So I called him up. I was at my wit's end and I said, all right, how do I do this? And he goes, well, how about trying the company I work for?
He's in Denver, right?
He's in Denver, correct. So I am using the company he works for now. It's Ring Central. And once we get you squared away on your computer, we can actually see each other. And if, you know, we both get dressed, we could actually put these on YouTube or share video.
I love that caveat. If we both get dressed.
Have you seen the video that Christy Teigen and John Legend put up? Apparently, their little girl wanted to get a couple of her stuffed animals married. They actually staged a wedding ceremony on the balcony overlooking the beach at their home in Malibu, and it's one of the and John Legend is there in his bathrobe.
Oh yeah. And Christy Teigen will do anything.
They seem so approachable. They may become America's first couple. Let's talk about Just Three Things, if we can stick to that this time around. First of all, we're all looking for stuff to watch while we're shut in.
And I was going to say, it's all around the coronavirus. I mean, our lives revolve around it now.
We were going to talk about the TV show that you have, Sunday Mornings, right?
Sunday Mornings on the CW33. It's Designing Texas, but what we're doing, while we're sort of in a rerun frame of mind because we can't shoot a bunch of new stuff right now, we are repeating Designing Americas that ran on Mark Cuban's HDNet over the past 10, 15 years. And so it's really fun to take a trip down memory lane. We show beautiful homes and people's collections of art or collections of cars. And it's just fun. And we did it all around the United States.
Who among us gets tired of being nosy as to what other people have inside their house? You know?
No kidding. It's more fun than looking at a woman's purse.
Tell me when it's on again.
It's on at 9:30 on Sunday mornings on the CW33, which is usually 9 on cable.
As you said, obviously right now, people aren't able to go around and do on-location shoots and that sort of thing. In fact, I was talking to my youngest son the other day, and he works for a TV station, among other things that he does. And he said right now they have instructed all of their tech crew to work from separate trucks. So they can't even come.
Isn't that crazy?
They can't even come into the building at this point. And I'll tell you, Jocelyn, I've made a prediction not long ago this past week, among many other things that I think are going to permanently change. I've talked to an architect who lives down the street from us, and he was saying the other day, we're trying to figure out right now, why do we have all these square feet? Why do we have this big office building? When we've demonstrated and are demonstrating that people can telecommute, what's the point of building a high rise full of office spaces when people can do it from home? So I think, I don't know.
Be a little savvier on that technical side. And I just got off the phone before you and I hooked up to talk. I was on the phone with one of my doctors teleconferencing because that's what they have to do now.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, you know, of course, we're going to have to figure out a way to come up with more bandwidth because the internet is kind of creaking at the seams right now. I don't know if you've noticed that your television speeds have slowed down, but YouTube and I think Netflix have both reduced their quality from HD to standard because so many people are at home right now. In Italy, you know, the internet slowed to a crawl because all of a sudden all these children weren't in school and they're on their computers at home playing Fortnite video games, and everything just nearly slowed to a stop. So they had to make some drastic changes. And so YouTube and Netflix have done that. Don't interrupt Tiger King, though.
The reason why Netflix no longer can do things in HD is not to slow down to standard. It's because the idea of Tiger King in HD is horrifying. It is bad enough in standard. I really don't want to see that guy and the toothless wonder with the tattoos.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to see him bigger than life.
In 1080p. Yeah, it's really, how far in are you?
I've seen the whole thing. I binge watched.
I don't know. How did you survive? Listen, we are one episode in, and that is crazy with a capital C.
I'm not going to tell you what you run into at the back end, but let me just say this. Those people are cray cray, like big time. And I am embarrassed to admit that I watched it. A friend of mine called it the ultimate in redneck hippie embarrassment. And it is.
I wrote a blog about the 20 things I'll never gripe about again and posted it here on jodydean.com. And one of the things was a full parking lot. Boy, I'm never going to swear at being unable to find a parking space again. Traffic jams. I'm never going to get frustrated at all those people going to work at the same time as me. How dare they, you know? And one of the things was our parents' generation had FDR's fireside chats. We've got Tiger King, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to explain that to my grandchildren.
Let me just put it this way. While it's fascinating in the beginning, it becomes a guilty pleasure. Then it becomes an embarrassment to admit that you've watched the whole darn thing.
Fiona and I discovered a great show that's worth watching. We thoroughly enjoy it. We love all the, you know, the fixer-upper shows and things like that. And one of the shows that I really, really have glommed onto is called Homestead Rescue. Have you seen this?
I have not.
It's Discovery, and it features a family. Okay. The patriarch is a man by the name of Marty Rainey, who left home when he was 16 and became a logger and an oil rig worker and just a real outdoorsman in Alaska. And he became ultimately a home builder and a designer. It's all self-taught. And so he and his son and daughter do these homestead rescues, and these are places out in this, I mean, off the grid, literally
when
off the grid.
When you say homestead, you mean just like in the pioneer days.
I mean as close to it as you could possibly get here in the 21st century. I mean off the grid, where a week without sun might mean you die. Because your solar panels don't recharge the batteries, that sort of thing. He and his crew will spend 7 days, and that's it before they move on to the next one, trying to do whatever they can for these homesteaders, wherever they are off the grid, and use whatever they have on the property to do it. So they'll resource, recycle, upcycle, that sort of thing right there on the property, whether it's building a chicken coop or a water well or restoring a fire place chimney that might be about to collapse and destroy the home. My favorite was the garden that they had to moose-proof.
We worry about rabbits and deer.
And he's a character because we watch this thing and we wonder how far into the hour will it be before he takes off his shirt.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, I was thinking about some of these people that they must run into, and they're the real survivalists.
Yeah, well, you know. I'm not a prepper, but I kind of lean that way. I mean, we have a fire extinguisher in every room of our house because I, like you, have covered enough house fires to know that sometimes the fire department can't get there as quickly as you'd like them to.
That's not called a prepper, though. That's paranoid.
I call it safety. And so you see these people who literally, they're 2-3 hours away from first aid or medical attention. So they really have They really have to think ahead and say, okay, what if this happened? What if, you know, we're all kind of doing that right now. I mean, just planning a trip to the grocery store right now is a matter of logistics.
Strategy.
Absolutely strategy, because you kind of have to think, okay, when is the toilet paper truck going to come? when is the produce truck going to arrive? And, you know, I don't know that this is necessarily our new normal, but I think it is going to be that way. There is a picture, and I'll post it here on the podcast, of a table from 1944 in London, England. And it shows the rations that you had.
During World War II.
Yes, what we're dealing with is very serious. I get really frustrated, though, when I hear people talk about, well, this is really scary. The solution to this is respect, a deep and abiding respect of an adversary. If you're scared of the adversary, you panic or you're paralyzed. But if you respect the challenge, then you can meet the challenge. And so, you know, understanding the context of we've been through bad things before as a species. And this is a serious situation as well. But that doesn't mean it's lost. Rather than with fear, to respond with confidence in meeting a challenge, I think that's going to be the secret to overcoming this obstacle. And of course, it requires people who are clogging jogging trails and golf courses and hardware stores to get a friggin' grip. That needs to stop. Yeah. We got to break the chain. And so I think that the lessons that our grandparents taught us that we didn't listen to very well, that our parents gave us, are really going to be useful right now because A, it shows us what to do. It gives us a roadmap. B, it's been done before.
Well, you know, one of the things, too, is, you know, we're like, when is this going to be over? Maybe it'll be over in a week. Well, maybe it'll be over by Easter. Well, I just, again, I was talking to my physician, and she said that she honestly believes, with everyone that she's talked to and other pulmonologists around the United States, that we will not be back to even seemingly normal until perhaps June. And that it's better for us to think, be pleasantly surprised, than count on something, well, by next week I'll be doing this. And then that frustration that sets in because your expectations are too high.
Exactly right. I think it's going to be later rather than sooner.
I
really don't think we're going to see baseball this season. I think the NBA season is over. I really wonder if we're going to see football this fall. Kirk Herbstreit, the ESPN ABC analyst, was saying that the other day. He would really be surprised if we see college or NFL football this fall. I tend to agree with that, and I'll tell you why. Because way back in 1918, we've heard so many references to the Spanish flu epidemic. That lasted from 1918 to almost 1921, almost 3 years. And the first wave that came through was bad, but the wave that came through in the fall of 1918 was far, far worse. And so to say, well, we're going to be done with this and that's it. No. I think this is going to come in waves. I don't know how many waves there will be. Anybody who says, oh, the hot weather is going to change all this, excuse me, it's been hot in the Southern Hemisphere where it's been summer for the last 5 months. And it didn't do a thing.
Well, if it does slack off or whatever in the summer, they're predicting it could come back in the fall.
As,
and what they're hoping is that the strain will remain the same and will not mutate. There appears to be some kind of immunity to getting it again, the same strain. If it mutates, though, you are susceptible to that second strain if you've already had it.
This past fall, Maddie, of course, is a cheerleader at her high school, and I became eligible to receive the senior discount card where you can actually get into the games for free. And I was so happy about that. Well, I would gladly change my senior discount card for being in the high risk category.
Right.
And I have seen people on not only on the trails and in the parks, but I've seen literally about a block or two away from us on the other side in the next neighborhood. There was a huge block party there the other night, and the adults are kind of trying to practice social distancing. But right behind them, if you looked real close, there were 10 to 12 of their kids playing basketball in the driveway, and we just can't do that right now.
No, they're pushing and shoving and touching each other. And
there are people out there who still aren't taking this seriously. Churches that have insisted on gathering for worship, and it's like, are you insane? To me, the most loving Christ-like thing you can do if you're a believer right now is to not gather together, because you just don't have the right to play with other people's lives. You just don't.
That's it. Why would you put someone else at risk?
What do you say to those people?
What
can you say? Because you've got friends. I've got friends. I've tried to delete and block them because I'd rather stay friends than read their crap. But how do you even approach these people who still refuse to be convinced how big of an issue this? I mean, when Dr. Anthony Fauci says maybe 200,000 people in America could die, why does it not get other people's attention? Do they just refuse to believe? I don't get it.
I think because medicine has come so far, and we are a very privileged, very spoiled nation. We're not used to deprivation, and that's what this is. This deprives us of what we consider our right to go anywhere we want to, whenever we want to, get as close to someone in their space as we want to. I mean, think about it. So when you were talking earlier about how this could change ultimately the new normal, I think a lot of it's going to be about figuring out ways of working in the world without stepping on other people's toes all the time.
You do have to wonder how those seven castaways on Gilligan's Island managed not to kill each other after all that time.
You know, there is that.
I will say this. You know, I've seen several people say divorce calls are up because people are having to live in close proximity to each other.
Find out if you really like somebody or not.
Do you ever? Listen, the house we live in is about 800 square feet, and it has one bathroom.
It's a tiny house.
And I tell people all the time, if you want to test the strength of your relationship, buy a house with one bathroom. because you you learned to negotiate. You know, so
I grew up in a house of four people with one bathroom.
See,
so, yeah, you learn a lot of negotiation.
We've grown up in a culture over the last 35, 40 years where the bigger the house, the more square feet, the bigger the bathrooms, the more of them, things like that just became accepted as that's the way we live. And
yeah, we're not used to any kind of what we consider deprivation.
We both have family members who grew up in homes where the bathroom was outside.
Yes, in Arkansas, we did have the little moon cut out over
the door. You know, and so our expectations are a big problem in all this. And I think there was a woman who posted on something I put up on Facebook the other day, and I said, you know, I think handshakes are history. I just think they are. I think we were HR has already kind of discouraged that. And so, you know, I think handshakes will be the next thing to go. I don't like elbow bumps, but we'll figure something out. I'm sure maybe we'll bow. That wouldn't be all that bad. But nevertheless, handshakes are history. And she very proudly boasted, oh no, I will do this and I will continue to do that. You know, when I hear people say that, I will do this, I will do that, I can hear the Lord Almighty saying under his breath, oh yeah, watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah, I can see, you don't dare God.
Liberty University is a great example of that. They swore up and down, we're going to hold classes. They opened on the Monday after spring break, and by Friday, they had 19 students suffering symptoms of COVID-19. There is more truth than we want to admit in the phrase, pride goeth before destruction. I don't know why it is that we just don't seem to get that. And there's still people out there who think this is a plot, or this is some sort of hoax, or this is some sort of manufactured story that the media's, you know, please. The idea that they're setting up hospital space inside the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center ought to be enough to get people's attention.
If not, if you still want to hold on to whatever part of you really and truly believes that this is all a hoax, at least think of the people that you love and that you care about and be respectful for their sake.
Exactly right. Yeah. Now, Maddie, I don't think is going to be going back to school this semester. I think school is probably done. But I'll tell you this. Yeah, I hope we learn, are humbled to a certain degree, so that when this is all over, we have a different view of things and we put things in a much different context. We learn to separate our wants and our needs and know the difference between the two. But even the most meditative among us, even the most contemplative among us, will definitely squeeze the Charmin. You know, we just happen to have a good supply when this all started. Never will we ever take toilet paper for granted again.
Isn't that the truth? Now, I grew up in a town and that had a paper mill. And of course, they really smell horrific. But my dad always said, that's the smell of money, honey. And they made plywood and toilet paper. And
sure.
Towels. And so now I'm very grateful. And it's interesting to me that while some industries are suffering, that others are adding workers, building factories. You know, it's interesting how you adjust to the time.
The hardest adjustment to me has been watching family members having to visit their older relatives in retirement centers through the glass of their outside windows. Being able to touch, not being able to connect, not being able to hug each other. And that's just heartbreaking when you see that. And then you see all of the restaurant owners and operators who are doing whatever they can to keep their staffs on staff, use takeout or delivery to stay in business for the time being. You see hospital workers out there on the front lines. Actually, they will tell you that we are the front lines. They are the last line of defense. Clothing manufacturers who are creating protective equipment for those workers and first responders. You see police officers and firefighters and EMTs going out on calls and knowing they don't know what they're going to encounter, and yet they do it anyway. I've seen so many stories of people who've just taken sidewalk chalk and they've started drawing greeting messages on sidewalks like "You Matter" and "You Count" and "We'll Make It" and things like that. And there's so much of that going on that you just have to think That spirit is going to prevail. In the long run, that spirit will prevail. It's happened every step of the way throughout our history. When we've been met with something like this, there have been people who've stepped up, and it's organic. It comes from the grassroots, literally. There's a home in East Dallas where the kids got bored one day, and mom said, well, let's grab some paint. And so they went outside to their privacy fence, and all along that privacy fence are messages of affirmation and encouragement. Aww. And love. And it's like, boy, how'd you like to live next door to somebody like that? And the truth is, we probably all do. The bad times will reveal not only our weaknesses, but also our strengths. And man, if you look around, there's so many people showing what makes us strong, demonstrating what makes us strong. And I think those are the things that are going to prevail in the end. And that's uplifting to me. That makes me smile. I think the funniest thing I've seen over the last 2 or 3 weeks was a picture. Hal Jay, who is the wonderful morning show host at WBAP, posted a picture. Has been forever. One of the funniest people that I've ever met in my life. Posted his annual blue bonnet shot, where you go out and you lay down in the blue bonnets and your spouse takes a picture of you, the blue bonnets, and he's glowering behind a surgical mask. while lounging in the posies. And I thought, if that's not the most Hal Jay thing I've ever seen in my life, and that's the kind of stuff that we need. Yes, serious issue, but boy, to bring that ray of light.
A little levity among this character building experience is always good.
That's just three things.